I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. The COVID-19 pandemic has been brutal on the hospitality industry. More than 110,000 restaurants and bars closed their doors in 2020, causing a loss of $240 billion. And now, restaurants are facing a staffing crisis as many workers resist returning to low wages, no benefits, and rude or abusive customers. I spoke with Dr. Sekou Sibi, the president and CEO of Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, and Dana Barker, a restaurant worker in the Bronx, about the needs of restaurant workers. Dr. Sibi tells us how his organization, ROC United, is helping.
ROC United is a nonprofit organization that's fighting to improve wages and working conditions for restaurant workers. And we do that through several ways. Workplace Justice Campaign, policy fight, but also workforce development training.
And Dana, let me also just come to you just so I can kind of establish where we are here. So tell me a little bit about the kind of restaurant that you work in the Bronx. No need to name it unless you have a great desire to do so.
I work at two, actually. I work as a bartender for both, but I'm actually a bar consultant. And I actually helped one of the bars reestablish their bar and help them set up their bar display and also created their bar menu.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to kind of get, you know, kind of establish where we are for a second. So now let me go back to you, Dr. Sibi. Now, we're hearing reports of a shortage of workers at restaurants and food establishments. You know, one of the narratives that is emerging is this language of people just don't want to work. Is that what you're seeing?
No, I think it is a completely false narrative. The real issue that workers are facing is that simply the so-called shortage is driven by the wage. It is also driven by poor working condition. As of last month, the restaurant industry, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, added 253,000 workers jobs. Why? Because now we see wage increase and we see employers attempting to give better protection to workers. And these are two key elements that were preventing workers from coming to work.
Now, is this something that we saw before the pandemic, or is all of this, Dr. Sibi, being driven by the realities of the COVID shutdown?
No, it is. We've been fighting. I mean, ROC has been created since 2001 after 9/11. We've been fighting for wage increase and improving working conditions. So these are factors that's pushing restaurant workers out of the industry. And the pandemic has only exacerbated a problem that existed before. Minimum wage is still at $7.25. And for tip workers, it's $2.13, which is too low to allow people to work.
Dr. Sibi, that's exactly where I was going, was to that tip minimum, just as a reminder to folks that for so many people working in the restaurant business, that as servers, as waiters, they're not even making federal minimum wage, right? They're making that tipped minimum. So again, just explain for us a bit more, and then I'm going to come to you, Dana, but tell us what that tipped minimum, you know, really turns out being for folks who are, what you know, kind of what they're taking home at the end of, say, a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it is a very low because, for example, now the lack of stability of the restaurant industry and the customers coming, no tourists are coming, means for servers or for tip earners, right, they don't know how much money they will be making day in and day out. In addition to the fact that the hourly rate is $2.13, if you add another layer, it is like restaurants are not employing enough runners. So servers are finding themselves doing cleaning job, which doesn't earn them tips. So it is a compounding problem that's preventing them from coming to work, because if they do, they don't make enough to earn a decent living wage.
Okay, so Dana, let me come to you on this and sort of, you know, that's the broad picture. Help us focus in on your lived experience. So the places where you're working, are you short-staffed?
Yes, and one of the restaurants actually is a new restaurant. It opened a year ago, and it has been hard for them to find stable staff members. It has been kind of hard.
Is that primarily about pay? Is it about working conditions? What are you hearing from the other folks who you work with about why it is so difficult right now to hire?
It's difficult to hire. Not to say that people don't want to work, but it's more qualified workers. I feel as though that there are a number of places that would rather hire someone that isn't as qualified as someone else so that the pay can be a little bit lower. So that also is something that has been a problem that I've also, you know, I've heard with amongst my colleagues in the industry.
So remind us, because, you know, on the one hand, anyone who has themselves worked as wait staff, or if you're paying attention when you're in a restaurant with a wait staff, then the question of qualifications is pretty clear, like the things that make, you know, great wait staff. But help us to remember for folks who maybe aren't paying attention when they're in those circumstances. When you say qualified, what do you mean? What are the things that really sort of, you know, set apart a great bartender or a great wait staff member?
Well, I want to say qualified, more so well-rounded, probably would be a better way to describe it. Someone that knows how to serve and to also multitask versus someone who may just know how to do one particular thing, but then also not having someone that is so qualified that they have to do all the positions. But it just kind of gives that establishment a balance of knowing when, and at least when someone else new comes on, that there's someone there that can also support and train and also do those things in accompaniment of, you know, keeping the restaurant in motion in an organized fashion.
So Dr. Seeby, help us to think a little bit about the kinds of choices that are facing restaurant workers. So if it's been the pandemic, maybe the place where you were working was shut down and is beginning to reopen. Maybe you're talking about coming back for a sub-minimum, you know, tip minimum wage. Are workers simply moving on to different restaurants? Are they moving to completely different industries? Where are folks going?
I think that some are moving to completely different industries. Others are going to larger corporations that can provide better wages and working condition. A large restaurant chain, for example, may have the financial backing to increase the waging, which is a good reason for them to pull workers from smaller restaurants. This is part of the reason why our fight has always been to level the playing field for everybody. The federal government need to be involved in, you know, increasing minimum wage at least to $15 and suppressing the tip of minimum wage. So leveling the playing field for everybody will not create a competitive disadvantage for smaller restaurants who cannot increase the wages right now simply because they don't have enough money. But larger restaurants are starting to understand this is why we see now more and more people being hired. But we need to put a legislation in place to increase that wage forever, from now moving forward.
So what would happen to small restaurants, independently owned, maybe neighborhood restaurants who are already struggling in the context of the pandemic? What happens if you raise the labor cost by increasing minimum wage?
I think it is great if you can do that. I mean, this is what we're fighting for. But if only one restaurant does it and the other restaurant around them don't, then it put them at a competitive disadvantage. This is part of the reason why the solution is a legislative solution. Larger restaurants with enough financial backing can afford that situation, but smaller restaurants may not be able to. This is why it is important. I really think it is important for us to have a policy in place, raise the wage act, to increase minimum wage for everybody. So it becomes the law of the land. It is imposed to everybody. That will work.
Dana, do you like working in a restaurant? Is it something that you enjoy, or are you hoping as quickly as possible to be in some other kind of industry?
I love working in the restaurant industry, hospitality overall. You know, giving a person a sense of satisfaction and comfort when they come in. It's almost like, you know, having someone come to your home. It's about the hospitality and catering to others and being genuine.
I have to say, I also love that when I asked if you actually enjoy working in a restaurant, that you said yes. I feel like sometimes when we talk about how hard this work is, that we presume that simply because the work is hard, that no one wants to do it, that everybody hates being there, that everybody would rather be doing some easier job. But I also think it's important to acknowledge, no, actually, people like their jobs, but they'd like to have better working conditions to do their jobs in. Dana, I'm wondering if you can, like, if you're imagining maybe even in the context of owning your own business, what makes a place a great place to work? Like, when are you in a restaurant environment when you're like, all right, this is what feels good. This is why I do this work.
The one thing I can honestly say is working with a company or a business that has a mission statement that bases its foundation and its core goals and values on integrity, respect, morals, things of that nature. And also knowing that, you know, having suitable living wages, protection, paid leave, insurance, and that can happen in regards to illness, especially during the pandemic. That's something that as a business owner, I would, and I am working towards providing that for when I do gain employees and staff members.
Dana Barker, restaurant worker, small business owner, mixologist, thank you for being here. And Dr. Sekou Sebi, President and CEO of Restaurant Opportunities Centers United. Thank you both.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.